Wake up, America!
Wake up, America. It's time for Michael Dean After Dark. I'm your host, Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and this is the Late Night Feisty Liberty Show. We have a rotating stable of interesting insomniac co-hosts. Plus, we leave the phone lines open. So if the hamster in your brain is keeping you up, please call in. That's true. It's all true, man. This is Mr. Michael Dean. Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend. And I'm doing a show because it's after dark, and it's Michael Dean After Dark. It's well after dark. And this is the day of the week that I do two shows, believe it or not. I did the Freedom Fiend show earlier today, and it went quite well. And now I'm doing this show. And I got another guy in here. I think this is his second show today. Is it Derek J.?
That's correct. It is. Good to be with you, Michael. And I'm glad to get your sloppy seconds.
Cool, man. And what are your other shows and where can people find you and who are you? We'll go to who are you after that.
Okay. My other shows are Peace News Now. People can find that at peacenewsnow.com. I've got a sick, dark comedy show called Sick Sad World. You can find that at sicksadshow.com. And that's the main stuff that I do. My personal website is derekj.me. That's the source to find all the things that I do. I'm Derek J, and I'm a peace activist from Philadelphia who just wants to achieve personal freedom. I want to do it so that I can find my own way and then hopefully inspire others to find theirs.
Is Sad Sick World named after the TV show in The Daria Show?
Yeah, it totally is. It's a tip of the hat to Mike Judge for creating something so hilarious.
I love that show. It was too good to be to keep going, I think.
Well, it barely had any content, which was the thing when I went back to review it. Like, I guess I had made up episodes in my head of funny things that had happened, but it barely had a show.
There were 20 some episodes, man. It was all on it was all on Netflix for a while. I don't know if it still is.
Well, Daria, yeah, but the show within the show, Sick Sad World,
right.
I feel like I've made more content of that show than Mike Judge did, so I hope he enjoys it. I hope he gets to check it out someday.
Cool,
it's
man.
It's like the sick, saddest news that's going on.
Cool. So you were talking about a whole bunch of things in the pregame. You were talking about something horrible the police did today. Now, I will say, you haven't been on this show yet. You're going to be a regular on here, and I appreciate that. I don't know if I've had time to actually tell you what the show is yet. Should I tell you what the show is?
Yeah, fill me in. What are we doing here?
What we're doing here is this is the show. There's not a lot of tyranny on this show. It's a contest to see who can go the longest without talking about tyranny. Bill Buport always loses when he's on with me.
I think I could do pretty well with that. So I heard you explain this to Bill Buport that we're already in LibPair, right?
Yeah.
We're doing this show from LibPair.
Yeah, this is the show from the Libertarian Paradise. Basically, you know, everyone I know, you, me, Bill, all our friends, all the co-hosts on this, everyone in LRN, pretty much what they do 24/7 is complain about the government on the radio, on the podcasts, on the streaming internets, on the blogs, on the – I'm surprised there isn't someone doing fanzines, publishing them on Xerox about the government. There probably is. But really, what we're trying to get to is freedom. So I want to do the radio show that we would do if the government were already out of the way. Let's not say it's completely gone, but it's small enough – that it can fit in your bathtub and it wants to drown itself because no one loves it anymore. You know, it's kind of like what I think the technologies that are happening now, like Bitcoin and the spinoffs of it, are going to do, and what I think that all this Liberty Media is going to do. I think it's going to turn the government into MySpace. Like, it's still going to be around. It's still going to have 200 million users, but none of them have logged in 6 years.
Wow, that's the most hopeful view I've ever heard of.
That's Nima. Nima said that. He also came up with a great term recently, which was Blockstrian economist, which is an Austrian economist who does not discount Bitcoin.
Well, they don't already. They had to give that up. All the Austrian
economists. It's not
economists
true. Gary North, man.
Really? There are still some holding on saying only gold is real money.
Yeah, Gary North said – Gary North has a lot of issues with his – he wants homosexuals to be
racist, right?
What?
Oh, once, no, it's I knew it was one of those things. He's either hates gays or he's a racist. Or
no, he's absolutely not a racist. He hates gays. No, he's kind of racist against non-Christian, non-Bible believers, I guess I'd say. Like, he doesn't care what your color is as long as you believe in God and, you know, don't sass your parents. Like, he literally has said, I believe he has said that he thinks that teenagers who sass their parents should be stoned to death.
I don't know. I don't buy that. I don't think that's very peaceful, Walter Block.
Yeah, it's not Walter Block.
Who is it?
No, Gary North.
Gary North. They're the same. They're in the same circles, right?
Well, like one's like 60 and one's like 190. I don't think Lou Reed's a big fan of Bitcoin.
Lou Reed?
No, Lou Reed. Lou Rockwell. Sorry.
Why would Lou Reed care about?
He's dead. Lou Reed's dead. Did you miss that memo?
I totally did. Now I'm sad.
Lou Reed's dead, man. He died a couple months ago.
Right. Okay, now I remember. Everyone's playing Perfect Day again and again. I'm sad for Lou Reed, but...
no, there are... like
should Gary, move on and Gary, recognize the value of the blockchain. Like, do they not see all of their friends and family now using Bitcoin?
We're going to have to take turns talking, because there's something about the audio setup between us somehow that... it's like cutting each other off. So I think I'm going to have to say over when I'm done. Gary North is, for all his faults, he is a great Austrian economist. I mean, he wrote some books in the 80s that are just dead on, not only with like investment advice and how the world works and how economics work and how government works and what you should invest in. I mean, I think he's largely responsible for the big boom in prepperism and gold buggerism and gunnerism and all sorts of things. I think he's also, that's good stuff, but I think he's also unfortunately indirectly or directly responsible for the really ugly side of Christian Republican politics. You know, the we need to ban Sharia law because it may come here someday, and we need to do this and do that and build a wall and keep all those people out and burn the gays.
Like, he's just someone who wants to keep his culture right where it is.
Yeah.
and reverberate it and ingrain it, make sure that no one changes it. So I can respect that. He wants a homogenous society of white Christians.
Not white. He's not racist.
Oh, right.
It's about the only redeeming value of his non-economic theory. But his economic theory is really sound. But he wrote an article on Lou Rockwell a couple months ago called Why Bitcoin is a Ponzi Scheme. And he really believes it is. And, you know, he's one of those guys who's like totally understood Austrian economics, totally believed in gold, which most Austrian economists do. And with good reason, it's good stuff. But could not wrap their brain around the blockchain, man. And so he's an old school, you know, basically what it is like Austrian economics is so true compared to the other kind of government economics that people come to believe it as a religion, and religions don't allow for anything new to be put into their universe. And
that's a great point. That's probably where he's coming from, where he's like, this, you know, this is strange to me. It's like someone comes upon a new tool, though. I mean, they would be foolish not to figure out the new way to use it. I mean, this is like the introduction of a saw, whereas we've only had, just sticks to bang together. The blockchain is a whole new tool that people can use in all sorts of creative ways. You were exploring some of those creative ways that people are using the blockchain for things other than currencies.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk these days about new things that can be done with the blockchain, with the underlying new technology that drives Bitcoin. And there are probably 200 or 300 cryptocurrencies besides Bitcoin, but most of them are just clones of Bitcoin with, you know, a dog added or a different name of some sort or some kind of like hook, but they're not fundamentally different. Namecoin is the one that's fundamentally different because it allows you to do distributed DNS type web addresses, .bit addresses, without going through a central agency that can shut them down like they can with .com. And you can also do some other things in Namecoin. And one of them is there's an ID field, and you can basically create an ID. Like, I have MWD registered because that's how I sign everything anyway. And, you know, there's a little cryptographic hash that is output by me having registered that on the blockchain of Namecoin. And I can use it to digitally sign documents and prove that I did them. Or I can put, let's say
That's cool. Yeah. So, because no one else can have this cryptographic hash, no one else can have these like strings of code, then people know that when that string of code signs something, that it had to be you. How is it that no one else can have that code? Is it part of like a public private key pair or something?
Yeah, exactly. I have MWD in the blockchain. Now, it could expire. I have to renew it every 8 months, but it costs about 7 cents to renew it, and that's worth doing. So I will renew it.
How could you lose ownership of that if someone saw your private key and then they could sign off on things saying that they're you?
Only if I if somebody hacked my computer and got my password.
Okay, I follow.
You know, key, really key logger. Cool. I mean, basically the same way someone can steal your Bitcoin.
I really like that you're using this technology differently. You're using it for something other than a currency.
Well, yeah, and I didn't come up with doing that, but my friend Derek, my other friend Derek Slopey, came up with a way to, on the whole Windows machine, this other guy, Jeremy, came up with a way to do it on just one browser, just on Firefox. But Derek Slopey came up with a way that we call MeowBit from MeowBit.com to do it on the entire Windows machine. So that's a big leap forward. And he actually added something this week, a tiny function to that no one's really noticed. I've been yakking about it a lot. Nobody's really gone, this is groundbreaking, except me. But it is groundbreaking. He's doing notifications for software updates over the blockchain. That's never been done.
Whoa. How does that work? What do you mean notifications? Do people get them when they update their blockchain and it says like,
well, your blockchain updates in the background if you're running the Namecoin wallet or the Bitcoin wallet, you know, that's
so
how
what
it
do
works.
They get like, okay, if you are registered to MWD.bit or something and they know that's you, so you would get the memo if they passed it out to like the owner of MWD.bit or do you pass around messages like you would pass an email to someone? But
Derek set it up so it's kind of automated, but only he and I can send an update into the blockchain to give notification to anybody who has MeowBit that the new version is available for download.
Wow.
Yep. We'll be back with more after this trip to the market on Michael Dean After Dark with Derek J in the hot seat. You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. MeowBit is free software from the Freedom Fiends that allows you to effortlessly view .bit websites. MeowBit works on all browsers. .bit is a new type of web address that's not controlled by any government or corporation. And we'll show you how to register a .bit domain today using a few cents worth of Namecoin. If anyone ever shuts down your .com website, users will still be able to get to your site using your .bit address in our free software, MeowBit. Go to MeowBit.com. That's MeowBit.com. Yeah. Well, I love you so much that I wish you were dead or locked up down in some jail. Yeah, that's my band Bomb from back in the day. I was in a band called Bomb. I type the word bomb a lot. It gets me in trouble. I don't want to bomb anyone. I was just in a band called Bomb. But, you know, you type the word bomb into your emails, and the government just assumes the worst. So, Derek, we were going to talk a little bit about tyranny. I know this isn't going to be a big show of tyranny, but you mentioned some interesting tyranny today about the police overstepping their stupid bounds.
Yeah, did you hear about this story?
No, man, I don't pay attention to the tyranny. I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, like, keep an eye out the window, just the tyranny window, like, oh, what's going on with the smackdown today? But the police did do something interesting in Maryland.
Well, it's kind of ironic to me because there's a show called The Liberty Beat on LRN, and I dig it, and I dig the guy that does it, but it should be called The Tyranny Beat. There's nothing about liberty in it. It's just what the goons did today, basically.
Well, if you're a liberty person, you want to be tuned in to what the goons are doing. Because,
see,
like,
that's the whole point of this show is like it's for if there weren't any tyranny. I would prefer really if there was only the Liberty Beat. Like I could take about 5 minutes of tyranny a day. I don't need to drive my blood pressure up and hear it 24/7. And I think a lot of liberty people get into stimulating their limbic system, overstimulating it like that, to where they're worried and ready all the time. You know, that's not living liberty.
I just want to push solutions, though. I mean, I hear you. I don't want to talk about tyranny all day, too, because you kind of create your reality.
Yeah.
You know? Talking about it, then bad things come into your world. But there's also another side of it, which you don't want to be an ostrich and have your head in the sand and have no idea what's going on. Because when people talk about, like, oh, hey, the police stopped all traffic on I-270 in Rockville, and you don't want to be like, what? I didn't even know about it, right? I didn't hear about it.
Well, REM predicted this. REM predicted this 25 years ago. They wrote a song called REM wrote a song called Don't Go Back to Rockville. They warned of this 25 years ago.
You know, speaking of your band, it had to be pre-internet because a band like Bomb, how are you going to look it up? Like, how should people look? I guess
try this, man. Try going on an airplane with a big Anvil Road case with the word Bomb stenciled on it. I've done that. You try that now.
Wow. Yeah, but you don't travel anymore, so we don't
know.
And so if do you want to hear what happened in Maryland, according to ABC News, according to the Mickey Mouse news organization? The Disney News organization says that Maryland police shut down I-270 in Rockville this morning. That was Tuesday of last week, the 11th, I believe. The robbery and ensuing police chased close down. They closed down I-270 in both directions for nearly 30 minutes. Maryland State Police confirmed a motorist whose regular morning commute took an extra hour today said about 30 police vehicles passed him on the shoulders of I-270. Quote, then when I saw a wall of police officers with automatic weapons approaching our cars, it was apparent that something serious was taking place, he told ABC News, asking for anonymity. Quote, after a while, some police dogs appeared in the same area behind me. Then helicopters started flying close by. One even landed on my left on I-270. The robbery involved the Wells Fargo Bank branch. So what happened? A bank was robbed, a Wells Fargo. Oh, no, that's a horrible thing. We don't like to see that happen. But then you don't need to stop the whole world because a bank got robbed. We'll be able to find him. Usually they mark the bills or the bills explode with ink and you just chase the guy down. He can't even use the money that he steals anyway. So what's the point of all of this? I think it's conditioning. It's
where they are too, man. Maryland, you know, people always say California has the most draconian gun laws in America. That's not true. Maryland's are worse. And California has a very valid gun culture, but yeah, Maryland is horrible for guns, man. Which is
they're horrible for guns. They don't allow raw milk. Activists outside of D.C. are constantly trying to get their raw milk without being slapped with felony charges for trying to enjoy some milk. Well, anyway, the north and southbound lanes were shut down. They took three suspects, the police did. They are apprehended now, and they're just trying to sort it all out. But can you imagine the fear of sitting in one of these cars and seeing a helicopter and all the stopped traffic? I mean, the stopped traffic would remind me of a zombie movie to start. I would feel like, oh man, it's they're quarantining us. They're gonna come at me with an injection. I'm gonna become a new zombie race.
Yeah, I think that's the one they have to use. I know a 66-year-old woman in Wyoming who open carries a gun when she goes into her bank, and it's no problem. But you know, if you remember the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind, it was in Wyoming, and the only way they got people out was by saying there was a toxic gas leak.
You are destined to be listening to this show, Michael Dean After Dark, on this very night. Thank you for arriving.
That was a song by the band Bomb going all the way back to 1991. That was All My References Are Dead. And we're going to take a phone call here in a few minutes, but I wanted to finish up with Derek J. Go ahead, Derek J. Finish up about tyranny. and we'll be done with it.
That some guy tried to rob a Wells Fargo bank in Maryland. They shut down the whole world and got three suspects. And then everything resumed back to normal after all the guns and barking dogs and helicopters went back to their homes.
Yeah, and it's kind of a, you know, I don't want to be an apologist for those goons at all, but there is a thing called an exigent circumstance. You know, a cop can legally kick in a door without a warrant if they hear what sounds like someone being murdered inside, let's say, or see it through a window. And, you know, that would probably exist in LibPair, too, in Libertarian Paradise. You know, whoever's in charge of the security would be able to do that. I think any citizen would be able to do – any person would be able to do that. But they abused that by pulling over every car and stopping the highways and, you know, all to protect some pieces of money that are replaceable. That wouldn't happen with the blockchain. So we're going to go to the phones. We have Hesperus calling from Reno. Let's put him on the air. Yeah, Hesperus, are you there? Hello, Hesperus? Yeah. Hello.
I think I'm here.
Welcome.
Hey. Well, so congratulations on the new show, first of all.
Sure, man. Having fun.
I was actually going to call in and talk about something different, but the whole tyranny thing does get pretty well out of hand, doesn't it? Have you heard about the raid on the on Ares Armor out in California?
No, what's that?
Well, I also needed to say to Derek J, I wanted to thank him for making his victimless crime spree movie, and I wanted to say in as clean a fashion as possible, you're probably a bit more of a courageous person than I am.
Thank you so much.
Ares Armor, they were talking about it on Tom Gresham's Gun Talk today, where Ares Armor is a company that their specialty was making forgings for 80% AR-15 low receivers, just chunks of metal. And ATF came in and said, well, we don't like you doing that anymore. So, and they also raided another company called EP Lowers, did pretty much the same thing but with plastic components. And they basically said, we want all your customer lists. Ares Armor got an injunction to prevent that, and the ATF then said, well, screw your injunction, we're going to do it anyway.
Huh. How's that work in a court of law? Probably pretty well, actually.
Well, this is the joke, is that so many people think that we live in a society of laws, not men, but what do you do when the law men don't respect the law?
Move to another planet on the blockchain. That's what I'm working on.
Get them to fight each other, like what it sounds like these Ares guys are doing. I mean, they went to one bureaucracy to get permission to keep another bureaucracy away from them, and now what's going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, whenever people talk about streamlining democracy, like, you know, Ron Paul did, I mean, I really like Ron Paul as a philosopher, but I'm kind of glad he didn't win as president, because first of all, I like him, and he probably would have been murdered by someone in the government within a few days, and secondly, if you streamline government, the next guy who's not as cool could do a lot worse with it. I think one of the saving graces that keeps us from all being forced to, like, everyone to live in a little cage and run on a treadmill all day is the fact that it's just this behemoth of a bureaucracy. And whenever people on, like, Fox News say, we need to cut out these programs and reduce the size of it, it's like, I'm glad for the ever-increasing size of it, because it's just going to bump into itself and become more of a dinosaur dying in the tar pits, man.
It's just more mucky waters for it to wade through.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a couple predictions I have. One is what Nima said, that I think it's just going to turn into MySpace, to where, you know, it still has 20 million users, but none of them have logged in a few years. And I think you'll still need to, you know, have Federal Reserve notes to pay your DMV charges and things. But and then there was something that Cody Wilson said on a Fiend show that really made a lot of sense to me, was he said that he thinks it's going to become vastly, you know, more and more irrelevant, to where less and less people pay attention to it, but they're going to occasionally still do something really public and horrific to somebody just to try to make a point.
Yeah, I could see that, where, like, tax issues, they always throw someone away for taxes. Like, there's always one celebrity in jail at any given time. Yeah. For taxes. Just and so they can point the finger and say, hey, remember why you need us.
For a decade, it was Robert Downey Jr., but then he passed the torch to someone younger, I think. Justin Bieber.
I was talking to one of my minarchist friends about all this sort of stuff a couple of weeks ago, and I said, you know, if I were president and I made you the head of the NSA, what would you do with it? Now, this guy, not only is he really smart, but he's a 20-year Air Force veteran, so he knows this stuff left, right, and sideways. And at the end of this very impressive spiel he did, and I said, okay, and then what do you do when I, as president of the United States, is found dead in my bed with a eye in the pyramid scrawled out in my own blood, when the coroner then ruled it an inexplicable suicide?
What'd he say?
Well, he said that by that point, he would have wreaked so much havoc as head of the NSA that, in his opinion, there'd be no coming back.
Yeah, that's kind of like a really mature, childish attitude. I mean, it's a childish attitude, but it's mature because the guy's smart and older and has life experience. I was dealing with some people today on the interwebs who were really just immature. They were talking about uses of the blockchain other than currency, and one was voting. You know, like, well, we can get rid of, you know, these Diebold machines. You can hack them. This, if you did it all in the blockchain, everybody, you'd be able to prove everything everyone did. And then it got into a conversation of direct democracy, you know, where everyone can, anybody can propose a law and anyone can propose anything. And I said, within, you know, you ever seen the movie Idiocracy? Like, basically what direct democracy would, it would remove the barriers, and it would basically, what would happen is people would put up bills to not have to vote and or not have to work and to tax people with jobs 100% of their income. And you would end up with a complete collapse within a few years of society, to where the only jobs available would be cops, and nobody would do it for pay. The only people who would be cops would be people who absolutely enjoy terrorizing other people. So you'd have a complete collapse of society. And I was thinking of that as a horrific thing. And then I started thinking of it as a comical thing. And I was like, that's kind of the movie Idiocracy. And, you know, Idiocracy is supposed to take place about 500 years in the future. And I think that's about accurate. But I think if you had direct democracy, you could shorten that to about 20 years from now.
Wow, that's fascinating and horrifying.
Yep.
You really believe that this could be the future?
Maybe. Although I'm pretty hopeful. So, Hesperus, what do you got that's hopeful and not tyrannical? Because otherwise you're going to lose the prize for this show because you brought up more tyranny. That's how this show works. It's a game show, and whoever goes the furthest into tyranny loses.
Well, this is the thing, is it's you obsess on the tyranny, you obsess on the tyranny. That's who you are. That's what you are. In fact, that's what I was calling about. You just become so obsessed with finding, well, all these examples of tyranny where, you know, it's not just here, it's around the world. And really, in order to create a better system, you need to be able to demonstrate, as I said in an email to you a little while ago, that it's one thing to have delusions of grandeur, to come up with ideas of what a society should look like in your mind. It's quite another to actually prove examples with, well, as I said in my email, functioning software.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not against talking that people talk about tyranny. I just think that of the, you know, let's say 700 or so media outlets, podcast, radio, popular websites, et cetera, that call themselves libertarian, and I would include in that small government people, you know, about 98% of the content in most of them is tyranny. So I think there's already enough news about tyranny out there that no one's hiding their head in the sand. There's enough of it out there. So I just want to talk about, yeah, like you said, solutions, and not even just solutions. I'm really into that, but I'm also into, like, if there was no government, what would libertarians do on the radio? They'd talk about fishing and cooking and, you know, guns, but not about gun oppression. They would just talk about things that interest them. You're into military history. Tell me something interesting about military history that's not tyranny, if that's possible.
that is very, very, very difficult to do, simply because it's mostly tyranny in miniature in a lot of cases, but, well, for a while I was cataloging weird stories of military history, like, the only one that comes to mind off the top of my head, though, is the history of weird weapons.
Yeah.
People have come up with all kinds of different weird weapons throughout history. One of my favorites has to be something the Nazis tried to come up with near the end of World War II. It was a giant pressurized air cannon that would either blow airplanes out of the sky, like sending dandelion seeds on the wind, or create air currents over Germany, like rapids and whatnot, that no aircraft could could possibly navigate.
Literally a no-fly zone. Yeah, they were all, weren't they also looking at like making UFOs and using time travel and, you know, finding the Ark of the Covenant to get the blessings of God to rule the earth?
They were, but I think one of the interesting things that gets into is even if they did do something like that, and let's say they succeeded, what would that have looked like?
Pretty because, ugly, man. Ugly.
One of my favorites. One of my other favorites is what these people try to come up with. You know, okay, the war is won. Now what are we going
put
to
it
do?
This way?
One of the proposals.
Put it this way: yeah. We would not be having this conversation on government controlled radio.
No, we'd probably be having it face to face in a catacomb.
No, they just kick in your door and they just kill you. All right, thanks for your call, Hesperus. It's been cool. And we are going to continue with more after this trip to the market on Michael Dean After Dark with Derek J.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, the invigorating alternative to those other late night shows.
Michael Dean, and it's After Dark, so this is Michael Dean After Dark. I could come up with a better tagline, but I don't know. It just works, man, because it's weird doing radio after dark. It's weird doing two shows in a day. I actually did three shows today because I interviewed my friend Derek Slopey. I lent him a microphone indefinitely because he and I are doing a long-term project, and he's going to need to do some interviews with me, and he'd never done an interview, so I got him on the Skypes, I helped him sound check, and then I recorded us talking for an hour. So this is my third show today, Derek.
Did you take a break or a nap in between?
Yeah, I took a nap for about 24 minutes.
Did you play any games or like get your mind off of the shows or anything?
I don't play games. My wife plays games. She plays puzzle games.
You don't play any games. Computer. What do you do to get your mind off of things?
Go on to other things.
Okay, you just move on. You're just a machine.
I tell stories about how I used to live with a bank robber, man. I got clean off drugs just about 20 years ago. My 20 years clean date from heroin and alcohol addiction is going to be July 7th this year. So right after thanks, man. Right after I got sober in 94, would that be? Yeah, 94. I was living in kind of a voluntarist group home. It was not court ordered, and it was not a facility that you paid to check into. It was basically five guys who were all in recovery renting rooms in a railroad flat, one of those flats with a long hall and then all the rooms are off of it. And the last week before I moved out, this other guy moved in, and then I moved out and got a place of my own. I was ready for it. And he lived there for, oh, about 8 months till he went to prison, got caught for bank robbery. But I went over to that house a lot. I hung out there because my friends still live there. So I got to know this guy a little bit. And he was really small, really thin build, kind of hipsterish looking. Probably, you know, I was about 30. He was probably about 24. He was a little girly looking, but not really. And that kind of plays into the story. What happened was about 8 months later, my roommate, there was a couple living in that house. It was all guys except for a couple. My friend Bean and his now wife, but at the time girlfriend, Kira. Kira, here's how Kira tells the story. She said that the guy came into her room and said, "Can you put me in drag? Can I borrow some girls' clothing and will you do my makeup?" And she was like, "Absolutely." You know, she's just girls.
Yeah, that sounds like fun for her.
Girls like to do that generally, you know, have a willing victim to play dress up Dolly on, you know. So she does up his makeup and she lent him some heels and a dress. And he said what he said it was for was his girlfriend was in art school. She didn't live there, but he said that they were making a movie at the art school and he was going to play a girl. So she dressed him up, you know, girlfriend pulls up outside, beeps the horn twice. He runs down in his heels down the stairs and gets in the car. Doesn't come back that night. And they're like, "Oh, he's just staying at his girlfriend's house." Doesn't come back the next night. Doesn't come back the third night. The fourth day, the guy's dad shows up from out of town, from like, you know, 300 miles away. And he says, "I'm here to collect his things. He's in jail and he's going to prison for a long time."
Oh my God.
And they were like, what? And yeah, he had secretly relapsed on heroin and was using occasionally, and then it led to daily. But somehow he was still going to meetings with these guys, and somehow they were so like, "We're all clean and happy," and that they didn't notice. Now, I would have noticed. I can spot people on heroin from about 40 paces, literally. You know, really, really. I just have a gift for it. And and these other former heroin addicts just couldn't tell or didn't notice that the guy had relapsed. And yeah, he and his girlfriend were robbing banks. They got a gun. I don't know if it was a real gun or a fake gun. They didn't shoot anybody. They were brandishing it, so it could have been an airsoft or a, you know, replica or a real gun. I don't know. And they were going into banks, and she was the getaway driver, and he was dressing up as a woman. And, you know, it wasn't the kind of bank robbery, like, you know, shoot the ceiling out and say, "Everyone." It was like the real subtle kind, like, he just walked up to the counter, like not even everyone in the bank knew he'd been robbed. He would just walk up to the counter and say, "Give me the money," and take whatever they had in their drawer, you know, a few thousand probably. And they would take off in the car, and they got caught. And, you know, he was doing it in drag, so they'd be looking for a woman, not a man. But Kira said he wasn't a very convincing.
Michael Dean after
We'll be back for hour two after this. Dean.com.
That's MichaelWDean.com.
Good evening, my fellow
worms. I know some things.
I'll be back with more later on.
You're never satisfied.
This is Michael Dean After Dark.
The stato sperimentato.
I don't know what's in
rock and roll.
Casimir's
the United States government presents
no vision.
Not having enough money.
The power was so great.
Esto por su parte considera
to provide guidance to mankind.
Go to MichaelWDean.com for more. That's MichaelWDean.com. We'll be back for hour two after this trip to the market on Michael Dean After Dark.
Bye for now.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com. Listening to Michael Dean After Dark, because it's after dark and I am Michael Dean. And I tried it for an hour. I tried it with the lights out. I just couldn't do it, man. I'm not that kind of guy. I do not own a lava lamp. So I'm joining Derek J in our hands across America and hands across the world to come out of the darkness and use a bunch more electricity and turn on every light to just make it blazing in here. So it's all about me. What is this Derek.me you were talking about? You were saying something about it.
Derek.me, that's my website. You know, I do a lot of content, Michael. And when my mother asks, where do I find the peace news? And it's like, you know, you can only say peacenewsnow.com so many times, but then you got all these other different projects. So when people want to find out what kind of stuff am I producing, you can find it all over at derekj.me. And we were talking about over the break, it should be a .bit, and you're absolutely right, but I don't have everything all worked out yet. So
.bit. .me is an interesting kind of thing that's come up, that's kind of an ego thing that a lot of – it seems to be popular with libertarians because they don't want to be part of the – us, we don't want to be part of the collective. But I don't know. I don't feel that a .me identity identifies that for me. Do you feel that for you?
No, I don't feel like it's I mean, I've already got DerekHorton.com, DerekJFreeman.com. I mean, I've got my name covered, but I just want a short, easy-to-remember website where people can find the content that I'm producing. It's not an ego thing. It's just like, here's the work I do. If you want to look at it, here.
Yeah.
It's nice because I can broadcast, like, I'm broadcasting this show right now. The video is over at DerekJ.me, and all you have to type in is that web address, and then, boom, you've got the video up on your screen. I think there's value in having something short and sweet like that.
Yeah. Do you know what .me stands for? What country that is?
No. Is it Morocco? Oh, wait.
It's Montenegro, yes. Which I believe was part of Yugoslavia, wasn't it?
They were all Yugoslavia at one time. It was all Yugoslavia.
Yeah. Yugoslavia made really horrible cars and really awesome rifles. I have a Yugoslavian AK-47 from 1970, and it is great. And it's literally made in the same factory that they made the Yugo car in. The Yugo car is a joke. Like, you know, if you ever watch the movie Dragnet, you ever see the remake of Dragnet?
Joe Friday.
Yeah. Well, the one that they made with Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah,
like there's a running joke in it where they keep wrecking the police cars they're issued. And like, you know, they start out with a really nice car. They wreck it. They get a, you know, kind of little boxy car. They wreck it. They get some used junker. They wreck it. And they finally get issued a Yugo. And they're like, oh, it's not so bad. It's the cutting edge of Serbo-Croatian technology.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah.
That's the best the Serbs could do under tyranny.
There you go, man. There you go. And, you know, tyranny actually tends to produce really, really nice weapons. You know, countries that can't make a decent car can take that same factory and make awesome rifles in it. That just shows where their priorities are.
I think there's a direct correlation between tyranny and cars and technology. Because didn't Hitler invent the Volkswagen?
Yeah. And, you know, people were really apologists for Hitler, and they point that out.
Apologists? Are you serious?
Yeah.
The Volkswagen.
Yeah. Yeah. At least, you know, at least that came out of it. Now, another one I've heard is, well, at least he made the trains run on time. And yeah, he made the trains run on time by murdering anyone who got in the way of the trains running on time.
Those people can't be serious. They're just joking. They have a sick sense of humor.
Yeah, it could be that too. But nah, I think I've heard it from people who are, you know, definitely not race haters, but are lovers of order and government and control. Like, well, at least the trains ran on time. The trains to the ovens. Yeah.
Yikes. Well, maybe obeying authority or just obey the I like what Gandhi said. He obeys the tyrant in his own soul or something like that. He listens to the quiet tyrant within.
Wasn't Gandhi a wife beater?
He was totally awful. I'm sorry. No, I should have brought up Gandhi. He sucks.
Yeah, man. He's not the shining. He's not the shimmering example, you know, and neither is Thomas Jefferson. He owned people.
Yeah, they've all been dragged through the mud. Where are my heroes? They've all been dragged through the mud through Penn and Teller's show. They have a show where they drag down heroes, and I don't know.
Is it the one called BS?
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah, they more often drag bad ideas down, but do they do people? I haven't seen that many episodes of it.
Yeah, they've done Gandhi, they've done Mother Teresa, and a few. I'm just waiting for Steve Jobs. He's going to get his.
Well, I read an article recently in Forbes magazine that basically said Steve Jobs was fallible and human, I think was the title of it, something like that. And I'm like, duh. But one of the things it said that when he was younger, he didn't bathe at all. And he believed that eating fruit removed the requirement to bathe. And he was working at Atari. That was his first tech job. And his boss moved him to the night shift so he'd be around less people who'd have to smell him.
That's disgusting. I guarantee that's something that came from weird parenting.
He also
if you eat your vegetables and fruit, you don't have to bathe. Like, you know, they gave him some sort of promise like that.
Yeah,
he'd come up with that on his own.
Yep, and so, and let's see what else. He was really horrible to his daughter for the first 10 or 15 years of her life. He also was really horrible to his daughter's mother. He denied paternity after a DNA test proved he was the father. And the mother of his daughter, of his infant daughter, asked him for like $60,000, one-time payment, I'll never ask you for anything else, to help raise the kid. And he wouldn't do it. And he was on the cut. He was a billionaire at the time, like back when $1 billion was a lot more than it is now. And there weren't many tech there were no tech billionaires. He was the first. And what happened was he was about to be Time Magazine's Man of the Year, and his board of directors, like, I don't even know if they forced him to send child support to the mother, but I think they just started sending her checks in his name because they didn't want him on the cover of Time Magazine as being such a great man while he's, you know, denying paternity and turning down giving a pittance to his child.
Wow. Some people, you really can't. I mean, is there any decency to this man? I feel bad because empathetically, he probably had a poor childhood. If he doesn't know how to treat the mother of his child, he's denying paternity, doesn't want to raise his kid with any kind of fruit of his labor. I mean, this is bizarre. What kind of childhood did he have? Did the article get into that at all? Because I'd be curious to know. It's not like the apple falls far, usually.
His father is actually from Syria. His father is Syrian. Yeah. Steve Jobs is half Syrian. His mother was a Swiss-American Catholic, kind of a hippie type. And she was impregnated and put him up for adoption because his girlfriend the father insisted on putting him up for adoption. He was
fascinating to me, what, like, as parenting progresses, you're a parent, and I've never been a parent, so I don't know what it's like, but a lot of parents tell me there's this feeling, you don't know what it's like until you are a parent. And I don't know, anytime someone says, oh, you don't know what it's like until you've X, you know, I don't believe it. I don't know. Is there a truth to that statement? Do you believe that, Michael?
Ask me the statement again. That was a long statement.
There's something to being a parent that you don't know what it is until you're there. Like, you don't know the love for your child until you've got it. Like, a kid can never know how much a parent loves him.
I think Neem would be the one to ask about this. I had a daughter. I did not have a lot to do with raising her, but I started to be in contact. Basically, her mother was a lesbian and slept with me to have a kid. I was not abandoning my responsibility. She didn't want my involvement. And when my daughter was 12, when Amelia was 12, she started to want to contact me, and her mother let me, and we started writing, and I started visiting her occasionally and sending some money. And we got kind of close, and when she was 24, she died of leukemia. So I'm a bad person to ask, I think, about what being a parent entitled. I mean, yeah, I'm not a bad person.
I didn't realize all the back history there, but no, I want to know, and I want to do it without doing the work of actually having to go and father a child.
Well, there's a lot of books out there, man. It's a very popular book section in any bookstore.
Yeah, I just wonder what it really is like, what it is, not what it's like, but I want to see what's that biological link, what's that all about, because parenting has changed throughout history. There's this whole study of psychohistory, is what it's called, of like, how did parents in the Middle Ages, they beat their kids, or they had a nurse, or, you know, they didn't breastfeed, they had a wet nurse, you know, they would have some other strange woman breastfeed their baby, because they thought that was the right thing to do, and then, you know, they would send them off as to these boarding schools where they would get raised by school marms for 20 years of their lives or whatever. You know, they never knew their parents, and so much has changed in just the last 100 years.
Well, it's really a lot of it changed since 1946, I think it was, when Dr. Spock's baby book came out. We talked about this a little bit on The Fiends today. But I said the 60s, but it actually came out in the 40s. It was the first book on parenting. There really
Is
weren't
that a real, you know, book? Dr. Spock's
book on parenting? Benjamin Spock wrote a book. It was called like The Happy Baby Book or something like that. I forget what it's called, but
not a reference to Star Trek.
No, no. I think the Star Trek character might be named after him, but no, this predates that. And it was the first book on parenting, and then a whole flood of them came out, and especially in the 60s, and now they're more popular than ever. And you could go into any bookstore or look on Amazon and pull two books off the shelf and get completely contradictory advice. So they're not, you know, there's a glut of information. It's not all good, but there is information to look through. There was not before 1946. Basically, the book on child rearing before 1946 was the Bible. And, you know, more often than not, it was probably used to spank the kid with, figuratively or literally.
Right. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I shouldn't laugh because those kids probably were beat. But the good news is that it's changing so quickly. It's not like we have to wait 100 years between each revolution of parents realizing, like, oh, you know what? When I hit Jimmy with that spoon, like, that wasn't such a good idea. He had all these emotional problems and couldn't relate with his wife later on, beat his kids. So, like, people are stopping these chains, and it's happening, like, within generations. You know, it used to be, I guess it took one generation for Dr. Spock or whatever to raise his kid and write his book, and then the next generation to improve on that. But we're having, like, intergenerational improvements, whereas I guess by the time kids who are born today, by the time they're having kids, they'll just have it perfect. They're not going to make
any I don't know if they'll have it perfect. I think in general people are getting better at raising kids, but I think there's always going to be people that have kids that don't really want them, you know, from a whole bunch of societal pressures and the state. And a lot of it, too, isn't just the state. It's kind of the family acting as the state. I mean, there are people who have kids to please their parents, which is ridiculous because their parents want to be grandparents. Bad, bad reason to have kids. We'll be back with more with Dr. Derek J talking about child rearing when we get back from this trip to the market, Dr. J.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. And yes, we're broadcasting this message into space. You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
That was going all the way back to 1991. That was my band Bomb with our song "Hey Richard," which is a song dedicated to a friend of mine who was shot by the police and killed. What do you think of that, Derek?
Yikes! I don't know. I'm making this contorted face. I wish you could have seen the live reaction. That's really sad. Sorry for your friend Richard.
Yeah, the thing is, he probably deserved it. He pulled a knife on him. Yeah.
Okay, so what does that mean? They should pull a knife.
That's not how self-defense works, man. If somebody pulled a knife on me, I'd shoot him.
I don't know. Pulling a knife on somebody is the wrong thing to do.
Here's the thing about pulling a knife on somebody. Knives can be more deadly quicker than a gun in the right hands, in trained hands. And right. somebody can close. There have been studies on this that have been used in defense of self-defense. Somebody can run. The average person can run 21 feet in like 1.3 seconds, which is about the reaction time to pull a gun. So okay. even if someone's not right up on you with a knife, they are a deadly threat if they're brandishing a knife.
I mean, I hear that. I've just seen so many videos of police like one going into a home and be like, drop the knife. And it's like so ridiculous. They could use tasers on these people.
He was suicidal. My ex-girlfriend was there. He pulled a knife on him and they pointed guns at him and said, drop the knife. And he said, go ahead and shoot me, and started walking towards him with the knife.
Yeah. So it's
like he was going to stab them until they shot him. So,
well, it was something else going on in his life, right? It's probably his upbringing.
Yeah. Maybe a lot of crystal. Well, what was going on in his life was a lot of crystal meth and alcohol that night.
Well,
but yeah, there's a lot of anger. He was an angry guy. I remember one time he was kind of drunk and we were wrestling and he didn't stop. I mean, he was really trying to hurt me and we were friends. It was weird.
Love children, kids, not kids. Kids shouldn't be having kids.
So were you breastfed?
I was. Yeah, I was so nurtured. I was one of those like everyone gets a trophy, like pat them on the head, like the can do no wrong type kids. And my older siblings didn't get that kind of a mom. Like they got the getting chased around the house with a broom like crazy
bad.
Was
it the same person? The same mom?
Same person, but she mellowed over the years because I was like surprised 10 years later. And I guess, I don't know, she took the time to read the books or whatever. She took off. Didn't have to work for the first 5 years of my life. My dad supported while she stayed at home and raised me. Then she was my nursery school teacher that when I started school. So like all the other kids are crying like, I want to be with my mom. You know what it's like when you get ripped from your mom, go to these daycares. Well, I was with my mom during all of this. So I was like super, super nurtured, breastfed. I had cloth diapers, like real hippie family. And, but I'm into that. I think that, you know, I'm recognizing that I was given a good leg up, whereas a lot of my peers were beaten and had awful things happen to them, and they can't relate to the world because they weren't shown empathy as children. And I think that's sad, but it's a good thing because we can learn like what the right thing to do is raise kids with empathy and love and help them reach their goals. This is the kind of world that I want to see. I want to see more kids raised in loving families. But a part of me feels like I have to adopt. Like, I'm a gay man. I'm not going to have kids. That's not part of my plan. It's not something I'm interested in. But part of me feels obligated to adopt because I feel like I would be a good dad. And there are so many deadbeat dads out there that part of my like legacy should be to make the world a better place through a living human being. So I've come to a compromise where I'm going to produce as much art as I can, because art is sort of like a fossil, can live beyond your existence, you know, and other people can look at it and say, oh, look at how you saw the world and look at how life was different in 2014. But children can do that in a really unique way because they can, they're living, they can interact with other people. It's better than art. So I don't know your thoughts on that, Michael. Should I have a kid? Should I adopt?
I can't. I cannot answer that for you. I'll tell you, you know, I give experience, strength, and hope. I don't give advice. I have no desire to have a kid. I have no desire to adopt a kid. I don't even have a desire to be around a kid. My house is not kid-friendly. We've never had kids visit here. If we had friends who came to visit and had kids, there'd be a lot of things to do, like, you know, locking up 15 loaded weapons that are scattered around my room, probably, for instance. Yeah. And I agree with the thing about, you know, the art. I don't want to say my fans are my children, but I feel like your art is what can leave a mark in a similar way as being a parent. We'll be back with more with Derek J on Michael Dean After Dark after this trip to the free market.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. And I'm speaking directly to you. Yes, you.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
This is Michael Dean. Michael Dean. Michael W. Dean, please say the whole thing. And yeah, we're broadcasting into space, and we're broadcasting directly into your cerebellum. And that was my band Bomb with the song. I don't even remember the name of that song, man. It was 1991. How am I going to remember the name of that song? I could sing every word of it, but I can't remember the name of it because we always like to be really obscure and have titles that had nothing visibly to do with the song. Now, almost never used a lyric from the song. I think that was called Hot Bloody Hearts, and that does not exist in the lyric. So I am talking with Mr. Derek J. How you doing, Derek J?
Hey, you know, I'm so good, and I'm so glad to be with you and all of your crazy listeners.
Thanks, man.
My brain is still working.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that kind of show. So you like cops. You love to surround yourself with police officers. You have utmost respect for the badge, and you just like to go to any event where there's a cop. I don't like that. I actually have an appointment to talk to a cop 1 year from this month, which sounds bizarre, but my concealed carry permit license is going to expire, and I'm probably going to renew it. And it lasts 5 years here, which is longer than most places. They're pretty lenient with their permission slip. So, but I have to go get, you know, talk to the cops again to get it renewed. So 1 year from now, I'm going to talk to a cop for sure. And I don't like the idea of that. But you probably talked to a cop, you know, on the break before the ad, didn't you?
That's right. Yeah, I'm constantly interacting. I'm over on their blog site, policeone.com.
Yeah, and they drove you. I know you were driven by one of them in the police car to your movie premiere, weren't you?
Yeah, I was driven by Ian in a police car, in a retired police car. But there was actually a cop who starred in the film and showed up to the premiere in Keene in his police car and in costume, as it were, his full Keene policeman gear.
Did you have a red carpet?
I did have a red carpet.
Did the cop walk down the red carpet and did people take pictures?
No, he didn't even get out. He thought, I guess, that no one was going to show up to this premiere. And then when he pulled up, he was like, whoa, there are actually people in the parking lot. There's a red carpet. He was like, I got to go.
Where'd you get the red carpet? Is there a place that rents those in Keene for premieres?
I think it was just a big pull-out paper. You know, like the kind of paper you use in elementary school?
Yeah, construction paper.
I don't know. That's not construction paper. It's kind of different.
Oh.
It's the kind that comes on rolls and they keep in the janitorial closet.
Yeah, for cleaning up vomit.
That's the stuff. That's what I got to walk on. It was like kind of anticlimactic. It was a cool idea to think like, oh, you know, we'll have you pull up in this cop mobile and then you'll be on a red carpet wave. But the red carpet was like 10 feet long. So it wasn't like I stopped and got interviewed by E! Hollywood Story or anything. So no, it was just you walk into the movie theater. There's the smell of stale popcorn and go see the movie. But it was a really fun time. We watched Derek J's Victimless Crime Spree, which your listeners can check out for free over at victimlesscrimespree.com. I just did a recut of the movie, by the way, Michael. I know you appreciate good editing, and I edited out a good 32 minutes from my movie, down from 90 minutes to 58. So if you've got ADD, as many
I
of
do.
Us
do. I do. Yeah. I watched that movie in about three sittings. That's how much ADD I have, and I liked the movie. And then I also watched every single frame of DVD extras, which were there like 4 hours or something.
Yeah, there's a lot of DVD extras. Bless you for doing that.
And that's where I saw your premiere. That's in the DVD extras. And that's one of, I like the movie a lot, but actually my favorite part of the movie is you getting out of a police car and walking down the red carpet.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for enjoying that. If people want to see the extra DVD features, they can pick up a DVD at order.victimlesscrimespree.com. But you don't have to. I think the video is somewhere online if you dig enough.
It's in the Freedom Fiends torrent archive. We're torrenting it.
There you go. Thanks.
I bootlegged your movie without permission.
Well, unlike most people, I really appreciate that. I don't see why people would be against something like that. Like, to me, I see you as sharing my movie, and that's what I want. I want people to see it and to think different thoughts. Like, hey, maybe I shouldn't respect authority. You know, like, you know, it sort of goes in line with what we were talking about during the last segment about how I was raised with all this love and nurturing, and I'm so grateful for that. But it sort of set me up to not be prepared for this world, right? Because this world is filled with a bunch of sociopaths who use might to get what they want.
You know, it's kind of interesting. One of the main critiques of Dr. Spock's baby book is square people saying that that book is responsible for generations of children that have no respect for authority because it was too permissive.
Well, that's exactly right. That's what's happened when you let kids realize.
Ask your parents if they read that book.
I should. You know, I will absolutely will find out to see if they had some sort of like parenting method. They definitely didn't on the first two siblings, but on me, I think they got their spit together and they did it right. I'm the good one.
Yeah, his book is called The Common Sense Book of Baby and Child Care, and it was a bestseller. It sold more than 50 million copies. It's been translated into 39 languages.
You know what should be common sense, though, that my parents didn't have the good decency to figure out is that you shouldn't chop off the pieces of genitalia from your infants. I think that's going to be another big landmark for parents. You know, stop hitting your kids. That's going to be a big one. Like, oh, you know, it actually results in negative
In 1940, Dr. Benjamin Spock initially favored circumcision of males. However, in 1989, in an article in Red Book magazine, he said that circumcision of males is traumatic, painful, and of questionable value.
There you go. And now parents are figuring that out. You know, in my dad's generation, it was 90% of males in the U.S. were circumcised. In my generation, 50%. Today, 30%. So those numbers are really coming down. And it doesn't take very long now that we have the internet. People just Google it, like, should I get my kid circumcised? They can watch a video of a circumcision and say, maybe I'll let my child decide for himself when he's 18. It is his penis after all. Why don't I just let him decide what to do with it?
You know, when I remember before the internet, I always had a quest for information. And I used to get on mailing lists. I'd get myself on them and then I'd get on other ones. And one of the ones I remember I was on was an anti-circumcision organization. You know, and I agree that that's something parents should definitely look at and not just do because a doctor says they should or society says they should. But these people were loons, man. They were awesome. I mean, you have to go back and check out some of it's online, some of the things that existed before the internet. And that sounds really vague, but newsletters were a pretty bizarre thing. You know, like Gary North did a newsletter way before the internet on economics that I think cost a lot of money. And I think he had a lot of subscribers, but he also was he had a big push for the world is going to collapse on Y2K at New Year's Eve, like planes are going to fall from the sky. And, you know, it turns out that wasn't as big a deal as everyone thought it was, and they got it fixed for the most part before it happened. But, yeah, man, newsletters. You ever seen old newsletters?
I have no idea what one even looks like. I have no idea what you're talking about. I think I worked for Greenpeace at one point, and we got thick packets in the mail that I never wanted. Maybe that's the newsletter that you're talking about?
So, yeah, okay. They kill trees, and they print stuff on them, and then they send them. Yeah, junk mail. You know, basically, the only reason that the post office still exists, man, I feel sorry for my mailman. You know, if, like, take the state out of it, and it's like, this guy, he's probably like 55 years old. He's a nice guy. He trudges. Wyoming weather can be horrific. I mean, overall, you get a lot more snow in New Hampshire than you do in Casper, Wyoming, but it does not regularly get down to 30 below zero in New Hampshire. And the wind, that doesn't happen regularly, but it gets 10 below all the time, and it gets to 30 below often or sometimes. But the thing that's relentless is the wind here, man. This is the windiest state in America. I mean, gusts of 50 to 70 mile an hour wind are absolutely not uncommon. And this poor mailman, you know, he's kind of an old guy, trudges through the snow and through this wind, just bracing, freezing wind, to come out to my house, and like 5 days out of, you know, six, and he delivers mail, it's junk mail. That's all I get. That's all anyone gets anymore.
No, that's all there is. And it's so sad. I feel bad. I was thinking the same thing. I feel so bad for my my mailman, because here, living in the city in Philadelphia, they have to have a bajillion keys. These guys walk around like super janitor, you know, because they've got to be able to unlock all the doors through all the streets all day, every day. And I just – to bring people junk mail, what is the point? They're freezing their tails off. And most of them are Vietnam vets. You know, they came back from a war all messed up and they've got no skills. So they're like, what am I going to do? I'll work for the state. Same thing I always did. And they don't know what to do that's useful. So they say, here, carry around this junk mail and bring it to people's houses. So that's what they're going to do until they die.
Yeah. Yeah, the janitors invented having your all your keys on a chain, your wallet and keys on a chain. And then I think the blacks picked it up. The blacks picked it up. And then the gays picked it up.
No, the blacks.
The hipsters.
No, the thing is,
bikers, hipsters,
of jail, and I know I'm not the only one with at least 1% of the U.S. having been to jail. Those jailer's keys, when you hear them walking by the door, because they check on you every like 15 minutes or whatever when you're sleeping, or when you're just walking around in general population, those jailer's keys, that's how you know where the jailer is. It's sort of like a shark when you're in the tank and you can smell blood.
You've belled the cat.
You what?
You've put a bell on the cat, basically.
Exactly.
You know, people if they have an outdoor cat and they really like birds a lot, they'll put a bell on their cat so the birds can hear them coming.
Well, that's smart, because, yeah, exactly. That's what the jailers did to themselves, or I guess their higher-ups. But they have those keys, and I always knew that they were coming because they've got the cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. I still feel it. I feel that fear when I hear, like, my friend's keys. He's got, like, a lanyard with a bunch of janitor's keys. Same thing. I get that feeling of, oh my God, I'm being watched by the jailers. So creepy.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna die in a hail of automatic gunfire from government goons, but I don't think I'll ever go to jail.
Wow. All right, that's a bold statement.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't mind jail. I mean,
and when I'm murdered, I don't think it's gonna be for breaking the law. I don't break the law.
Okay. Yeah, you're even asking permission to have a concealed carry
in a state where you can conceal carry without a permit.
Really?
Yeah.
Why would you ask for a permit then?
So I could legally travel to other states.
Oh, okay. That makes a lot of sense.
There's only about four states I'll travel to, and they all touch Wyoming.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Wyoming. You were talking about Matthew Shepard earlier. Do you want to talk about him?
Yeah.
He gets so sad. Yeah, but it wasn't I don't think it was a gay hate crime, man. And there's stuff coming out about that. There's a book written by a gay man who did a lot of research, who says that he was murdered by a man he had sex with, and it was over drugs and money.
You know, honestly, that makes a lot more sense than the first story I heard.
Hollywood wanted a martyr, though, and they punished Wyoming by making Brokeback Mountain take place here, even though it was filmed in Montana. Like, collectively, like, you're all gay haters. We're going to embarrass you and make the gay cowboys from the cowboy state.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations, and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
This is Michael Dean. It's After Dark. I'll be leaving you soon to go lay on my bed and watch BBC sitcoms until the cows come home tomorrow night. Because that's what I like to do to relax after a show, is watch some really, really stupid humor that just kind of tickles my crazy cat spot in the right way. And I don't really know what that is, but what we're going to do in this last segment tonight, and probably every night, is I'm asking my co-hosts to help give me some, give me and my listeners some redemption in the third act. Instead of a lot of nighttime shows that send you to sleep terrified and you can't sleep, I want to send people to sleep with some goodness. And it's not admitting that there aren't bad things in the world. I know there are, but you can hear about them on every other Liberty show. So, Derek, what are you hopeful about? And you got about 5 minutes or four and a half.
I feel so lame, but let me tell you the thing that I am most excited about is the Free State Project at freestateproject.org. If your listeners haven't heard about it, that's where you can check it out. The idea is that 20,000 or so liberty-loving people are all convening to the same geographic location. And that excites me because even if things weren't going bad in other places around the world, I would still want to be a part of the Free State Project because that's where the people who love freedom are going. And they're doing cool things together, not just like standing up to the man and making movies like I did, but they're giving people rides as agorist businesses. They're providing food for one another and cooking, hosting events, creating venues, giving people houses, and really just creating a community. And I'm not saying like they're giving away houses. People are buying houses and then renting them out to more people who are moving. And then
you mean when you show up, Ian doesn't come out and hand you a free gun and the deed to a house?
That's only if you give him a special wink. but no, there are so many different options, and it's really like you make your own adventure. This is the new Wild West, and haven't people always been looking for the Wild West or some new frontier to explore? Well, New Hampshire may be geographically totally explored, but the freedoms there have not yet been. And I want to be a part of that. So that's something I'm doing. I'm really hopeful because I'm moving back to New Hampshire to produce more media over there. And I think that's a lot of fun. I want to be surrounded by people who are already living free, taking the consequences. That's how I know, you know, what I really want in life. It's not going to be like, oh, I'll wait and I'll use my imagination. I'll dream about a freer world. No, I can actually try it out and live free today. That's really freaking exciting. So I think the Free State Project is one of the best things going on right now.
Is there a van, like a van that goes up and down the East Coast? Just, you know, you make an appointment, it just picks you up.
Pick them up! Yeah, you know, we should have something like that for all the crazies. No, it keeps people away. The fact that it's
a
little bit...
You don't want to move a bunch of random street people there just to get them on the voter roll. You know who did that? There was a cult in Oregon that did that. Do you remember that? And then the guy running the cult, like, tried to poison the town council or something with E. coli bacteria.
Yeah. I would only use acid. No, E. coli is evil. That would do bad things to you. But acid, that's enlightening and fun.
No, it's... that's aggression to dose somebody with drugs without their knowledge.
No, you're right. Actually, I wouldn't.
And you were kidding. You're making a really dumb joke, right?
Hey, who are you? I guess the joke is dumb, not me.
I'm someone who doesn't want his door kicked in because you made a joke. And you're probably someone who doesn't want your door kicked in because you made a joke.
That's a fair statement. That's absolutely true. Yeah.
Here's the thing, man. You can say whatever you want. But I don't want to get droned for what someone else says. I don't want to get beat up for what someone else says.
That's fair.
I'm really clear. I'm really clear to, if somebody says something incredibly controversial, to distance myself from that opinion. And that's free speech. You know, and, you know, free speech, this is my property, this show. But
well, let's be entirely clear and say that I've never dosed anybody and I would never do that against anyone's will. That is clearly an act of aggression. So that out of the way, I just think that the Free State Project is actually a fun thing. And no, we wouldn't pick up people in a van because there are enough crazy people who already moved to New Hampshire with no plan. They're like, I've got nothing, no life. Why don't I just move to where other people are moving to, doing something exciting? And then they burn out because they had no plan. They've got no money, no job, no skills. And then they just show up and they have to leave. So instead,
have a plan. Have a plan, people. That's Derek's words there. That's my words, too. Have a plan. But be willing to amend it as time goes on. And remember that to make amends means to make things well, not just to apologize. So if you make amends to someone, ask what you can do for them to make it right. Don't just tell them what you're going to do to make it right. This has been Michael Dean After Dark.
This has been Michael Dean After Dark. I hope we've helped calm the hamster in your brain and left you in a better place than where we found you. We'll be here 5 nights a week, same time and channel. In the meantime, go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. Thank you and have a wonderful evening. Good night.